We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back, hour number two. Before we welcome in Brian Duff, I will reread the statement from the National Hockey League. As protests in both the United States and Canada in recent days have focused attention upon racial justice for the Black community, the NHL stands with all those who are working to achieve a racially just society and against all those who perpetuate and uphold racism, hatred, bigotry, and violence. We share the sentiments expressed by our players and clubs in their calls for justice, and we encourage everyone to use their platforms and privilege for systemic change. In our own sport, we will continue to do better and work diligently toward culture change throughout hockey and endeavor to be mindful of our own shortcomings in this process. We welcome in Brian Duff, obviously Craig Gervais here. Duffer, what's up, man? Thought you were coming on at 10. You know?
I thought I'd been exiled permanently from this show, so let's ease back into it, boys. But beyond today, happy to come on anytime.
Well, good, nice background. I like the old goat head.
I wish for you.
Before we get into our topic, that hat you're wearing is amazing, and it looks like the initials are CR. So I appreciate it. I thank you very much, Duffer. Does that not look like CR?
It's just a big R with a little orange design through it. It's from Riptide Festival, which was in Florida. We were on the Bruins Panthers Lightning road trip this year, and by great fortune, I was able to spend an entire day on an off day at the beach, 11 in the morning till 10 at night, watching a lot of bands headlined by the Killers that night.
Wow. Are you a hat guy?
Yeah. The hat problem started when I was a kid and then probably led to no hair, and then now I'm really a hat guy. So
I find it hard to believe that he's just now starting to put together that you're a hat guy. Duffer wore a hat on our show one day, and I looked, I'm like, can we wear hats on the show? JJ's like, I've never told you that you can't, but I've never like really promoted it. And I'm like, well, look at this one. It says New Era. I am going on there with a hat today.
Like I had a little side deal with the folks in the Sabre store, because whenever I, you know, wear a new cap for a Sabre's daily report or whatever, they'd always have people asking about it. And then I'd always have to direct them on social, you know, get it at the store. So I kind of took it a little, you know, it was fun, ran with it. And obviously, you know, New Era has been a big partner of ours. And as a hat guy, I'm more than happy to do it. So
Brian Duff joining us for the second hour of the Instigators. We'll recap pretty much everything from last week regarding our, I guess, coronavirus version of locker room cleanout day. But before we do, Duffer, an emotional weekend for society this weekend. And just, you know, I know you said that you spent some time educating your kids on what was going on. I don't know if you want to get into that, but I think we all have kids, and I think there's all lessons and messages that need to be taught and learned here.
Well, obviously some of this, there's always examples of moments where you think that it's, you know, progressing the right way, but having obviously never lived on the other side of it, those are hard words to say based on what you're hearing and the change that has never quite happened despite so many people with really good intentions. But in season, we obviously saw coaching changes and leaders being held to a different standard. Akeem Alou was obviously a part of that. And boy, when I sit here with you guys, and it has been a while, we think about how much the world has changed from the pandemic standpoint just in the last few months, and then factoring in this in the midst of that. Boy, you can spend an awful lot of time not thinking about hockey. And that's, you know, true. Our kids are, I guess in the quote unquote old days, they would have been exposed to the news via a newspaper lying around the house. Maybe they'd catch the news with, you know, on TV with their parents and it's on in the background. But it's, look, my girls are 15 and 13. They're on social media. And it's that fine line of how much do you want them to know? And then in instances like this, like, I really need you to know what's going on in the world. And where do we take that information and learn together from it? And, you know, when our kids were born, we were in Toronto, like right in Toronto. And I think initially it always was like, this is going to be a really good thing for them, because they're instantly going to be in multicultural environments from every class they're in and wherever they walk in the city. And it's just that part of teaching is going to be easier because they're going to be immersed in it. And then I moved around a million times and suburb to suburb and suburb to suburb. And you end up being in an area that, you know, they are just, they're not as ingrained culturally on a day-to-day basis in school as what I would have envisioned from the start. That's not to say they haven't traveled a lot, big cities across America, understood, you know, the diversity of major cities. Not unlike Buffalo, obviously they see it, it's just it's such a smaller scale population, right? So I took it upon myself on the weekend, driving around with the girls, took them to the east side, and started asking them very serious questions about what they knew about what happened, you know, why the country was on heightened emotion and tension, how many kids of color are in their schools, how they feel those kids are treated, whether they feel like they have grown up in an accepting home when it comes to, you know, welcoming all people, how they felt driving around the east side with me when it was pretty clear that we were the only ones like us in the area, you know. Just had a lot of deep discussions about why things may appear to them the way they are, how things can change, how we can be better, how do we, you know, how do we start changing? Because clearly, based on people that have, you know, and not enough yet, but, and social media is so hard to, you know, you can't gauge whether it's the majority or the minority or what have you. But I think there's more people speaking now that would have been real quiet before. So I have to hope that that is going to continue. And at the end of the day, I don't understand why anyone can't look themselves in the mirror and say, why not try to be a better person? It's that simple. It's not that complicated. And I would hope that being all-encompassing would be a part of that, you know, that you get to when you self-evaluate. And understanding that together we can do an awful lot more, I hope that that really does fuel what we've seen the last few days. And it is hard to watch. There's no question. Nobody wants to see a lot of what we've seen, but there have been some very passionate and smart people say things from a far more knowledgeable standpoint and more precisely and almost times poetically. It's just so beautiful, their words, than I ever could. But I've tried to take those moments on social media that become popular and poignant and make sure that the kids have seen them and, you know, and move from there and just hope that we all find a way to do this together. I mean, you guys have, you know, I think you guys have probably seen some things just from within the hockey community that you probably haven't seen much before, right?
Dufford, like, I'm just going back to, like, thinking about the ages of your daughters. I was 12 in 1992. So, like, when the L.A. riots and the Rodney King and all of that, I mean, I learned a lot in 1992 just by the news. We weren't learning about this stuff in school.
Right.
Like, we weren't learning about all of this. And so you come home and you turn on the news. May 4th, like, I'm looking at it right now, May 4th, that's the day before my 12th birthday. Mm-hmm. Right? And I just, I remember just watching and it like kind of like trying to comprehend everything that was going on at mm-hmm. 12 years old. I mean, cause like Blake Wheeler said, where I grew up, I was shielded from this. Mm-hmm. I didn't experience any of this. And so I guess to learn about the peaceful protests that took place earlier the other night to the violent ones and the riots that took place later on, it brought me back to everything I remember learning about in 1992. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, other obviously from 92 to this weekend and everything else in between. Like, I think about when like what your kids are learning mm-hmm. and Craig, your kids are learning. My son's 7, right? So, you know, like he's going to learn about this, right? But your kids are in this prime age of where they are sponges of information. They're able to understand and comprehend different things that are going on around the world, whether it's sports, whether it's race, whether it's sexually, whether it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. There's like they're exposed to so much more. Like my kid's 7, remember? So I'm cautiously trying to figure out how to continue to introduce him to the real world. And how young do you need to do that so that their minds are open to all of this? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Like, because
yeah, I mean,
the younger they learn, and drive it into their heads, maybe the easier. Well,
it's not about driving it into their head. It's about being informed. You know,
well, like by that I mean the information, yeah. Not an opinion, the information. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
because
one of the best tweets I saw, Petey, was you lead by example, not by opinion, right?
Well, and I love
so that's a good one.
And I love to quote movies.
You can start that example, Petey, and Ribs, from day one when your child is born. That's the point, right? You can so you don't have to overload them with information. Just nurture the feeling, the responsibility, and all of this. And so we're all around it here, right? We're all understanding where this needs to begin.
Yeah, and listen, I love to quote movies, and sometimes there are movies, like, and to quote a movie in this, but the most valuable commodity a person can have is what? Regardless of how you use it, is what? Information. Mm-hmm. It's information. It's being educated on something.
Yeah.
It's understanding what, you know, what it, you get it. It's the information. That's what I meant when I said drive it into their heads, Rib. I just wanted to make sure that I was able to clarify.
Yep. And you know what? Listen, I mean, I really respect what you said there, Duffer. You know, having kids, 13 and 15, you were saying, daughters, and just, you know, obviously this type of topic does not come up in my household. It doesn't not come up in my household very much. And it's not from lack of respect or trying to change things. It's just, you know, I feel very much like Blake Wheeler. I grew up in North Bay, Ontario, in Northern Ontario. I didn't see any black people in my hometown. I've never been to high school with a person of color. Like I said before, I played how many years hockey from the age of basically 6 years old all the way till when I retired at 37, I played with one person of color, and that was Michael Greer, who I love dearly. I feel like I'm very much like Blake Wheeler. I was sheltered from you know, this issue, and you know, it doesn't hit home with me as much as, you know, others that are that know, you know, people of color, black people, and have been involved with it. And just listening to you speak, Duffer, it's like, you know, we are the teachers. the first thing you got to do is you got to inform yourself, because I'm not sure that I can sit there and actually respectfully tell my kids, you know, and inform them the right way. I have to be informed first, and then I'm going to educate my kids. And I feel like I'm like so many. I'm like one of those white privileged families that basically sits in our very comfortable situation and never talk about this issue. And with what's happening right now, it's something that obviously is waking up so many people. And I'm talking about the sleeping people, the people that aren't involved with this, that don't know the emotions and everything that go along with it. And I like your idea, Duffer, of saying that, you know, slowly you have to educate, you know, yourself, and you have to educate your children moving forward, because that's the only way that we are going to be able to change this.
And Petey, when you were talking, it just reminded me when you reiterated the age of my girls, like they're at a point where not only are they, you know, hopefully, and they've always been caring individuals, which maybe makes this easier, because I think their heart has always been open to understanding this. But they're also at an age where they share that information, that important information that you just spoke of, that it's the most powerful thing to have, because they have phones and they share information. They need to make sure that they're sharing the right information. And so that's the importance, you know, for as much as we can all have many days where we just don't like or want to embrace the value of the immediacy of social media, there can be good teaching moments in this where they can really, maybe it becomes a platform for them at a very young age, right? And they take ownership that they want to be a voice of change. You know, if they feel it, they can do it. They've got the tools to do it.
Well, I will say this. I know that we were all probably glued to social media in some way yesterday, but I think one of, you know, there were a lot of messages, great messages, from all different races and cultures. And, but I thought one that was so awesome was the sheriff in Flint, Michigan. Did you see this?
Yes, yep. I did.
Oh,
incredible. Incredible.
It was just, I watched it. I probably watched that five times, and I sat there and I just, the number, you can always tell someone who's sincere when they're really sincere. And I just truly felt sincerity and passion and empathy and compassion for all the protesters that were there, of all different colors, races, cultures, everything. I mean, it was a very powerful moment too. And I'm like everyone. I learned a lot. I learned a lot this weekend too. I mean, a lot of things that I think we knew, but I think a lot of, I don't know. I think now that I'm older and I'm not 12 years old, and you see these on a mass scale, these protests, it's interesting. We got to go to break. When we come back, we will talk some Sabres hockey. Duffer, great story about, and thank you for sharing such a personal story about how you were educating your daughters, you know, on, you know, everything that's transpired over the weekend and over for centuries. So we will.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me.
We'll talk some hockey on the other side of the break, because Ralph Krueger had some comments. Jack Eichel had some comments. Rasmus Ristolainen had some comments. All crucial pieces to this team going forward. Brian Duff will be back with us for the rest of the show. Instigators, WGR 550.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, let's talk some hockey. Thank you for the kind words, Kelly Rude. We miss you, and hopefully we'll see you soon. Sending us a nice little note. Instigators on WGR 550 with Brian Duff. Duffer.
Yes, sir.
So I threw it at Riv, and it's been a heated topic. And I know, you know, we'll give you the platform to talk Sabres here, because we've talked a lot about it. But and I'll try to get there as quickly as possible. But I guess I thought about this when I found out you were coming on today. Like, what's the biggest quote you heard this week, and who was it from? So, you know, between Jack Risto and Ralph Krueger, as we'll say, of the big three. Welcome back to the Instigator Duffer, right to the fire.
Is this buy sell trade?
No, not yet.
You could have put three of them on a, you know, little platter for me to choose from.
Where do you want to start? I could start with Jack.
The Risto thing doesn't matter to me. I mean, every end of year has been inflammatory recently for him, and I get it, and I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. I think we probably all still feel the same way. If they want to make a big trade or a trade of significance, that he's probably going to be involved. He said it himself. So that is what it is. I think it was really important for Jack to say what he said and to show – and tell, if you will, that he's not happy. And I mean, these are obvious things, right? Or they should be obvious, but I don't ever want people to, and these things happen, you know, they get misconstrued, or they think because he didn't say this, he doesn't feel this or whatever. I think it's pretty clear how Jack feels, and that's important for everybody moving forward. I don't know if these are the most important or impactful quotes, but I will say that, you know, beyond the media scrums that we had via Zoom with everybody, I, you know, had 20-minute conversations one-on-one with Botterill and Krueger that are on Sabres YouTube, and I felt like it gave me an opportunity to maybe get a little deeper, like to follow up on what some of the media had been asking. So I was really, you know, I was curious what Ralph was wanting to see change from his team standpoint when it comes to things that they do well, but then like where can they go from there. And he talked about being proud of the group defensively, but the most important thing is to continue to be proud defensively while never handcuffing our players offensively. So I think that comment is incredibly strong, because I think there's a lot of people in the fan base that believe that Ralph is actually trying on purpose, because of, you know, systems and whatever, that the way they're playing is holding guys back in that regard. So that's an interesting comment, just because I want to see where it goes from here. And look, the easiest thing to make the offense change for Ralph is to have a little bit more depth on the lineup. Now Ralph, like he often does, is going to speak about what he has as opposed to what he doesn't at this point in time. So he believes that the core, because it'll be older, as will the layer around the core, he feels that, you know, more can come from that. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, you know, mid-20s to late-20s guys in their NHL career are going to change their stripes too much, regardless of whether the whole team is older. So I still think, obviously, the roster needs some alterations to boost the club offensively, but I'm hopeful that kind of comment from Ralph can resonate and then be firmly on display, where we see the best of the offensive players. And I think most people are looking at Dahlin in that regard. And I know he's only going to be going into his 20-year-old season, but I think Dahlin is ultimately going to be, of guys that are on the roster now, like Dahlin is the one that can make the biggest change and impact for the group right now, moving forward. There's no question about that, because I don't think the other guys are going to change that much. But Dahlin is so young, he has the ability to add that much to the group. Other than that, I mean, I think at a much smaller level, although it could have a large impact moving forward, I noticed, and I don't know, I don't know why I noticed these things or think I noticed these things. I thought when Skinner spoke to the media, there was a different tone, a different something about him than what we had seen in season. And Ralph Krueger jumped all over that. He felt like there has been incredibly improved communication with Skinner since the season ended and moving forward. So I'm hopeful that there, those two are going to be able to proceed together to get the best for both, which is also desperately what this team needs.
Anthony?
You missed my long answers?
No. Listen, that's why you're on here, because I want to hear what your thoughts are. People don't always want to hear what we think. I mean, we can give our opinions, but that's what I wanted to hear. I don't know where Anthony's at over there. Yeah. Anthony being Craig. I don't know why, but we can't hear him.
Is he muted?
Are you muted, Craig? Get with the program. He's not plugged in. He doesn't have the headset plugged.
Oh, that's even worse. No,
can't still hear you now. Sorry, Craig. Sorry. you know what, Duffer?
It's I hope he 34 can, minutes I, to be elevated to co-host.
No, I bet it was something really good though. I bet it was. Let me. You know what,
can
Duffer?
Hear me now.
Oh, there we go. We stalled just long enough.
Oh man, I'm back. Listen, you know, a lot of great things. There is no question that when you have a team like the Buffalo Sabres that lacks offense, and I mean a lot of offense, you have to play a strong defensive style system. Once you have more offense and you can allow your horses to run wild in the offensive zone because they have the talent and ability, now you can take the leashes off. I would do exactly what Ralph Kruger did to this team. He's not stifling players on this team offensively. Quite frankly, they don't have the offense. You can't squeeze the juice out of out of something. Like you're dealing some of these players, you're dealing with raisins right now.
Killer analogy.
We need more talent up front. We need more offensive talent up front. Period. And my question was, we're talking about Rasmus Dahlin. He's going to be 20 years old. He's the main guy. You know what?
I disagree with you completely. And I think you're trying to say squeeze water from a rock, but yes, you can.
Because there's more.
Can't squeeze juice from a stone. You can't lead a horse to a trough and expect him to eat. Hey, listen.
God, I would like to slap you right now.
Yes, and you know what? Rightfully so. You don't deserve that kind of treatment, Anthony. Yeah. Listen, so that being said, now that we got that out of the way, I disagree with you, Duffer. Sorry to cut away from you for a sec. I disagree with you, and both of you can answer this. I think you can squeeze juice from a tree, and it's got to be an apple tree. It's got to be an apple and get the apple juice. And I think you can get more goals from Olofsson. There's definitely, we know for a fact that there's more scoring in Jeff Skinner. I think Jack's got even another gear. Okay. I'm throwing in the obvious. I think Tage Thompson, you're going to have to squeeze something from him. Okay. I think you're going to have to hopefully squeeze something from a young Dylan Cousins. I think you're really. So,
you gotta be kidding me.
But I do believe you should expect more scoring from within, but I still feel like you got to go out and add to it there. I'll correct your point for you there, Riv.
I've always said that they are not far off from being a very strong hockey team, but they are missing integral pieces to the offense that is not allowing them to literally get over the hump. You look at all of the teams that are in the top, whether it's Washington Capitol, Boston Bruins, Tampa Bay, even Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, they all are loaded with depth at forward at scoring. And not mid-level guys. They have elite guys on their roster. And those guys every single year push and propel their teams to greatness. Right now, we've got a great Jack Eichel. We have literally
one of the greatest players in the league. Jeff Skinner scored 40 goals a year ago, and now he had 14 last year. Well, you know what? Listen, if he's going to play with a guy who's not played center in 7 years in Johansson, and he's playing starting the season the first 30 games with Sobotka, that's a problem.
Riff, I was just correcting what you were saying and adding to it. Duffer, please speak.
The other issue that was paramount for Ralph was the fact that the discrepancy, these are his words, the discrepancy in every category on the road boggles his mind. So it is on him, his words, to find the link to why they had such difficulties. Now, when I pressed him on it,
I can tell you right now.
One of the first things that came out of his mouth was matchups definitely played a role. So I think that goes back to what we were talking about last summer, and Craig just alluded to it, the need for a second line center, which will, yes, thanks, Ribs, arms are up in the air. That'll help in that regard. He all, you know, obviously he feels that, again, the team's going to benefit from, the natural depth that all the players have. But yeah, they're going to need to make changes there. There's no question. But that's the thing. Like, it's truly alarming how poor their road numbers were compared to what they were at home. And it just can't be that way. You're never, ever, ever going to be in the mix with disparity and discrepancy like that.
Duffer, a soft team is always tougher at home, Duffer. Okay, you go on the road, now you're going into the Thunderdome. They had so many soft players. I hate to say it, but the team's made up of softer style players. You go on the road, now you're playing in someone else's building, and it's a different game.
So here's an idea, Riv. Here's an idea. Trade Risto. I think you need Risto. That's why I liked personally what Ralph Kruger said. I want to coach Risto. There seems to be, I'm not trying to make this conversation about Risto, but I believe a defenseman like Risto is a pivotal piece for this squad, for every squad. Now, whether it's Risto or it's another player of a different caliber of Risto, the likeness of the player is what I'm referring to. I like that Ralph Kruger said that about Risto. Instigators, Brian Duff's on with us, WGR 550. Hopefully soon to be MSG again. Someone asked us on Twitter. We're working that out. Craig is now fired up. We're off on the Sabres conversation. Duffer's joining us. Did I jump on you too quickly there, Riv? I mean, say there is no second line center. Let's pretend for a second that the season will start in September, October, as usual, right? Like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if the season's going to be canceled, and we don't know what's going to happen, okay? But let's say for a second that it's starting on time as usual. What if there isn't a trade? What if there isn't a trade? What if you're actively looking, for any team's sake, who are in the Sabre situation, who need to make their team better somehow by solidifying a particular spot? What if there is no deal? What do you do then? What if you can't sign? What if you can't move Risto? What if the value on Risto isn't maybe what we think? Or what if someone isn't willing to give, whatever the case may be?
Duffer, you want to take this one?
No, I think it was directed at you.
Excellent. Then you got a big problem. I hate to say it. We don't even have a team right now. We have to. There's how many unrestricted free agents that need to be signed? You need to figure out who's going and who's coming. You have restricted free agents that, obviously, I would think that every restricted free agent on the roster will be re-signed. Sam Reinhart, Dominic Cahoon, Victor Olsen, Larson, Montour, and Allmark will all be re-signed. Tage Thompson will be re-signed. If you do not have a second line center, then what have we done to continue to make this team better? I think it is a glaring hole. It's been a hole for since Ryan O'Reilly has left,
And if it's not filled, we do not have a second line center to fill the role.
I don't even know who's available.
Like anyone, but that's the problem, because you don't know the cap. You don't know the landscape. You don't know what the revenues are going to be in the league. You don't know whether they're going to play this playoff tournament or not. You're limited right now to trading amongst teams that didn't make the playoffs. That, to me, seems pointless, because you may as well wait until the end when everybody's trying to figure out what their reality is, and that is economics-wise, because, look, these times are going to hurt different organizations differently, and you don't know what's going to become available on the market until all of this is even. And by that I mean when the tournament, if it happens, is done and the Stanley Cup is awarded and the cap is in place, and people then really have to assess what can and can't be on their respective rosters and where Buffalo can try to swoop in and make deals. It's that simple. Like, yeah, we can sit here and do it because we got nothing but time to pinpoint individuals like we always do on organizational depth charts. But to say who's available, I think that's an impossible question to answer at this point in time.
You know what? It brings another interesting question, which I'll talk about on the other side of the break. I'll figure out a way to make it our buy, sell, trade, in fact, for your favorite segment presented by Buffalo Sports. And that is, could this time in sports / hockey be a time where teams might have to unload players they don't want to? Riv,
I have something to say about what Duffer said.
Save it for when we come back. WGR 550, the Instigators.
Back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Buy, sell, trade, presented by Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, where you buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. Riv, take it away. Riv got a used bathing suit over there. Riv, take it away. Your buy, sell, trade. What is it? From San Jose all the way. Let's go.
Well, buy, sell, trade, that the Buffalo Sabres will make a trade with one of the other six teams that are not in the playoffs this year. So those seven teams that are not in the playoffs have the ability to make trades amongst each other. Is this an opportunity that Buffalo can take, so they're not competing with the other teams in the National Hockey League? Buy, sell, trade. The Buffalo Sabres will make a trade with one of the six teams.
Petey?
Will or should?
Will was his question.
Do we want it to be should?
Will.
Trade. Because I don't know if anyone knows what the hell is going to go on. I mean, who knows?
I'm selling. Oh, I don't think they will. Right here, Rivs, here's my thing. I don't think they will right now. I think they may still end up in a deal with these teams once everyone's in on it. I just don't see it happening now.
That one blew
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it too.
You would.
I'm going to tell you this. There's one player that makes me certainly my eyebrows are raised. He's a very good player. He's in San Jose. His name's Thomas Hertl. He's a second-line center. He's 6'2", 215 pounds, and he can play the game. And I just feel that San Jose Sharks right now are in a transition. They have a lot of new faces. They've got some...
Oh, that couldn't have happened at a better time. Duffer.
What happened?
Right? You know what? We shut him down. You know, it's like, what's that show where they mute the guy, you can mute him and shut him off? I just, you know what, Duffer, I figured this is your time. Around the horn. Thank you. We just shut Riv off. We didn't need any more Riv for today. He'll be back tomorrow. He'll battle with Marty. Duffer, thanks for your time today, man, and coming on short notice. We appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh, my pleasure. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, yeah, well, again, if you didn't hear, you know, Duffer shared some very personal insight on how he views what's going on right now and how he's educating his kids. I think it was fascinating to hear. It was great to hear, as I have a young little boy as well. And Duffer, look forward to chatting with you next time. One Bills Live is next. I mean, they might be the one sport, Duffer, that's coming back.
Let's hope so.
Right? I mean, are we going to see the NBA, Major League Baseball? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Your Houston Astros, did you see there's a beer out there? Did you see there's a beer out there
not.
Called the Trash Can Hitters or Kickers or whatever, Smashers? Totally appropriate. Did you watch the Lance Art?
Petey, is there a nice ring on top of the can?
Well done. Well done. You know what? Lance Armstrong still has 7 yellow jerseys, doesn't he? Hey, great chatting with you. One Bills Live next. We're back tomorrow. Instigators WGR 550.